Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Now, I want you to listen to this stat. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 4 million Americans quit their jobs in July of 2021. Resignations peaked in April and have remained high for the past several months, with record-breaking 10.9 million open jobs at the end of July. Now, this is what we're talking about when we talk about the so-called Great Resignation, people leaving their jobs for various reasons. Help give us a national perspective of what's going on. I want to welcome Ronnie Mola. Ronnie covers business and technology for Redcode at Vox. Ronnie, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just start with the basics. I think I got what the Great Resignation is, but I think you can do a better job of explaining what it is.
I think it's this general term for what you're seeing as far as the quits and employment changes that are happening nationwide. And this isn't just for one industry. This is across industries, across age groups and demographics. You're seeing people quitting their jobs. You're seeing them just take a different perspective on work, its importance in their lives, how much they should get paid for it, and where they should do that work from. So you're just seeing people sort of en masse deciding, you know, maybe the job that they have isn't that important to them, or you know, they're going to move to a different job or no job at all.
Do we know what's driving the so-called Great Resignation? Like, is it just people have had time during this pandemic to reevaluate their lives? Like, what's going on there?
I mean, I think it's a lot of different things and specific to a lot of different people. I mean, foremost, yeah, you have the pandemic. You know, it's been a hell of a couple of years, and you don't really go through something where millions of people die without sort of rethinking your life and your place in the world. So I think that is a really important thing. But then there's more quotidian stuff like childcare. A lot of people have left the childcare industry. It's really difficult to get childcare in a lot of areas. It's very expensive, you know. And it's also for a lot of people with young children, it's questionable whether they really want their kids to be around a lot of other kids when there's this, you know, massive health crisis. So that's one thing. You have industries where pay has been historically low, and that have all of a sudden become like frontline workers. You know, it used to be that you were a retail worker and it paid very little and it had all these downsides, but now also you're in a dangerous situation with people who are angry and maybe not wearing masks. So that became more difficult. It really depends on your specific situation, but I think a lot of people have come to the same conclusion.
Now, are certain parts of the country getting hit harder from this so-called Great Resignation than other parts of the country, or does this seem to be pretty evenly spread out?
It depends a lot on the, you know, what sort of rules and regulations there have been around coronavirus, you know, whether, you know, a lot of places had restaurants just close, or, you know, you weren't allowed to actually go to these places, so why would they need anyone to work there? So it depends on local laws. It also depends on what sort of industries are predominant in those areas. If you have a lot of leisure and hospitality, that was very, very hard hit. Obviously, no one was traveling or going to hotels all of last year. It's picked up, but it's not fully recovered. It just depends on the specific industry and the local rules around COVID.
Now, listeners, I want you to know that in October, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported 7% of jobs in Vermont are unfilled. You heard that correct. 7% of jobs were unfilled in October here in Vermont. Now, this trend started before the pandemic but after layoffs from restaurants, retailers, and other businesses had to close, so the problem only got worse. To help talk about the Vermont experience when it comes to this Great Resignation, I want to welcome Ann Wallace Allen to the conversation. She covers business and the economy for 7 Days. Ann, welcome.
Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk about some of the trends we're seeing when it comes to people quitting their jobs here in Vermont.
Well, the trends are in many ways similar to what we are seeing nationally. I'd say, it was the same realization that maybe for people that they didn't have to be doing the same thing that they had been doing before. It was sort of taking stock of their lives. Vermont has a very large hospitality sector, much larger than many other states as a proportion of its economy. And that's one reason why Vermont was hit harder proportionately than as many other states. When restaurants close and hotels close, people were laid off for weeks, and they also had an income, which gave them time for the first time in years to actually think about what they wanted to do with their lives. And I've talked to many people who've said that that time was really valuable to them in deciding to go get trained for something else, and in realizing that, you know, the very difficult struggle of getting to a job where sometimes the hours are irregular or unpredictable, and finding childcare, that that maybe there could be another way, and that the pandemic lull gave a lot of people an opportunity to rethink things.
Are we seeing in Vermont any push to help mitigate the situation of people quitting their jobs?
Well, you're seeing the minimum wage rise, something that lawmakers had been trying to make happen, and advocates, poverty advocates, have been trying to make happen for years. This has started to happen, particularly in Chittenden County, where it has really risen quite a bit in an effort to get workers to come back to jobs there. And even in the rest of the state, pay has definitely been pushed up. Even in rural areas, there's a lot of manufacturing and other jobs that are, they're offering $18, $20 an hour, which was not the case before. So that's one effort. On a public policy level, lawmakers are and other state leaders are well aware that childcare is one of the biggest obstacles to people getting back to work. So they are trying to come up with solutions to the childcare shortage. Of course, some of the childcare providers are saying that one reason they can't be open as much as they'd like to is that they themselves don't have workers.
Now, listeners, we want to hear your stories. We want to hear your experiences. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to Murakia and Jericho. Welcome to the show. What experiences are you having?
Thank you. Yes. Well, overall, the experience has been incredible. There's been a lot of silver linings, but I'm sad and I miss my career. I took over a family business called It's Arthur's Fault when my dad passed away suddenly in 2018, and got to have an incredible time running it. But without childcare and affordable healthcare, we couldn't make ends meet, especially when all my events were canceled right as I was about to give birth to our second kid. So I had to shut the business down 6 weeks after the state shut down. And it's been really eye-opening to take a minute and think about, do I want to go back to work and work that hard and push that hard and hustle when I don't feel like I have the support that I need for affordable childcare and also affordable healthcare.
Now, you talked about a silver lining. So what's the silver lining in all of this?
Well, being able to be home with both of my kids.
Oh, sorry, is that one of them right now?
Being able to be home with both of my kids was incredible. And knowing that I have a job to go back to because of the amazing community and loyal following that It's Arthur's Fault has is pretty special. My husband also got a new job. So we do have that level of security. And there's just been a lot of special little moments along the way, like, you know, special outdoor birthday parties that are COVID safe. And being able to be outside a lot more and really enjoy that with my children. I don't know that we would have done so many things outside and had so many outside parties if it weren't for COVID. But yeah, there's been, it's a double-edged sword, the pandemic, definitely.
Absolutely. Lots of people are going through various experiences and processing it differently. Thank you so much for calling. Now, I want to also invite Teal Wiegand to the conversation. She's a user experience design based in Burlington, and she formerly worked in the restaurant industry. Teal, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're talking about people quitting their jobs. You are one of these people who quit your job during the pandemic. Tell me a little bit about what went into your decision.
Yeah, I didn't so much quit as laid off. Oh. The decision was kind of made for me. I was the manager for a small restaurant in downtown Burlington. And just like a lot of other people, especially working in a restaurant industry and hospitality, we were a small enough restaurant where unfortunately we weren't able to stay open and kind of shift to go's or anything of that nature. So really just with 2 days warning, I lost my job completely and went from being, you know, employed full time and even some overtime to nothing. Thankfully, I worked for a great manager who immediately connected us with Vermont unemployment and was able to get unemployment and kind of have that financial support right off the bat. But the onset was sudden and not something that I chose and very unexpected.
And how have you been able to find a silver lining, or how have you been able to move on since then?
Yeah, it is kind of a double-edged sword, like the last caller said. I mean, I miss my coworkers dearly, and it's kind of not the norm, but I would have never chosen to leave my job in the restaurant industry. I was making great money. I loved my coworkers. I loved the atmosphere, interacting with people on a day-to-day basis. But the upside was I was able to take my skills and my background and find a job that was relevant. So I was able to find that silver lining and find a job working in tech, working digitally, able to take classes through the Burlington Code Academy, who really supported me through the change, through COVID, and making this big career shift. And the silver lining is I now work for myself. I work from home. I work my own hours. I get to take my dog on a hike in the middle of the day and spend more time with my family. And it's the pros and cons, but you have to make the choices for yourself. And the greater silver lining is with my new career, working in tech, working remotely, I don't run the risk as much of losing my job again.
Now, that's a lot of safety and security. Do you think you would go back to the restaurant industry at all?
It's so hard for me to say. I miss it dearly. The day-to-day interactions with people is something that I lack working from home and working remotely. I live alone. I talk to my dog more than anybody else, this kind of thing. But like other people have said, like Ronnie said and Anne said previously, you know, it is harder. The atmosphere of working with the public now has shifted, and the money isn't always there. It's really kind of versatile and unpredictable what could happen. So it would take a lot for me to go back, but it never say never at this point, right? I mean, things are so unpredictable these days. So
now I'm really curious how one goes from the restaurant industry from a job that they love with all those skills and then translates that to coding. What was that, I guess, self-conversation like?
Yeah. My educational background is actually in education. I went to UVM and I have a Bachelor's of Science in Art Education. So I was a teacher for 5 years right out of college, which is also kind of a very rocky place to be in working in public education. You never really know what could happen. So I had already gone through one career shift, but the skills that I learned from teaching, again, public interaction, working in a fast-paced environment, I kind of had these qualitative skills that I built up, and art was my passion, and working on the front end, people interaction is something that I just grew and grew, especially working in the restaurant industry, and I kind of got into coding through an amazing friend who reached out to me and said, Burlington Code Academy just started this amazing user experience design program where it's working on websites and apps, but helping to improve a user's experience and guiding them through to improve and prosper and make your product better. I mean, how much more directly does that relate to being a teacher? You're trying to better a student's life, help them prosper and change and grow. And then my art and design background also goes into that. The user interface, how something appears, how it adapts from your computer to your phone, to your iPad. And they said, you should look into this course. They've now changed it remotely to fit COVID, you know, guidelines and things like that. And the more conversations I had with Alex and Benny and the CEOs and the presidents of Burlington Code Academy, the more they really opened my eyes to thinking outside of the box of what quote unquote coding means. And there's so much more to working in tech and coding and in this kind of digital world. And I found user experience design, which I had truly never even heard of before I took the course. And it was this kind of perfect mesh of arts, the tech drive that I wanted to be in, but still having these customer interactions and feel like I'm bettering and making a difference.
That's Teal Wiegand. She's a user experience designer based in Burlington, Vermont. She formerly worked in the restaurant industry. Teal, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
To help us break all of this down, we have Ann Wallace-Allen. She covers business and the economy for 7 days. And Ronnie Mola, who's the business and technology reporter for Red Code at Vox. So, Ronnie, as we hear these stories, are they similar to what you're hearing around the country?
Oh, absolutely. Teal's story is really interesting because I wrote a piece about leisure and hospitality. You had tons and tons of quits in that industry. People were leaving for a variety of reasons. Mostly the pay was really low, but also the situation was dangerous. And, you know, people felt upset that they had lost their jobs in the middle of a pandemic, places that they'd been forever, you know, sort of dropped them. But I also heard from a lot of people in those industries who changed to other industries, either ones with better pay or remote work. You know, a lot like Teal going out and getting, you know, new skills. It wasn't that she needed especially new skills. I heard from this chef. She was a chef de cuisine, and, you know, her job obviously wasn't there at the beginning of the pandemic. And she was like, you know, I've been doing orders and purchasing forever as a chef. I'm used to working 70-hour weeks. Let me try my hand as a, I think it was like an operations manager or a logistics manager. And her skill set transferred really well. So you see that with a lot of people who have these really strong skill sets in things that you aren't traditionally high paid, like retail and leisure and hospitality, being able to pivot a little bit, but, you know, and find something that's much more constant and gives them a lot of things that they wanted, like such as remote work or higher pay.
And Anne, I understand that you are hearing from people that also have shifted and are now selling things on Etsy.
Yeah, you know, Vermont has a huge craft community, and we have a very, very large rural area where it's, you know, there aren't a whole lot of job choices in many places. So Etsy really took off during the pandemic nationally. You know, their revenues increased 142% between 2018 and 2020. And they wouldn't break down those numbers for me in Vermont, but a lot of the people I talked to said that they had found, after they were sidelined from their jobs and they were at home, that they could make money selling what they made, whatever craft it was that they were doing, on Etsy. And a lot of people have started doing that and have turned their hobbies into a source of income.
Let's go to Andrew in Brattleboro. Andrew, I understand that you have a story about leaving your job during the pandemic.
Yes, I was living in Maine, and I had been dreaming about moving back to Vermont, and the pandemic provided the impetus for me to do that. I did have to move in with my mom for a few weeks, but I then found a job with NOFA Vermont promoting farmers markets that was aligned with my experience in Maine, and I was able to work full-time remotely, which has been wonderful. And I'm so happy to be back in Vermont.
Andrew, thank you so much for that. Let's go to Mr. Larry. Mr. Larry, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. What experience are you having during the pandemic and leaving your job?
Well, one, I'm a retired veteran, and I'm over the age of 60. The government and state does not, they'll take whatever money I make out of my Social Security. And there's hundreds of people that want to go to work but can't because of the Social Security. You know, they take it right out, and when you do, it's not good. I think this is one of the things that the governor should address. It's crazy.
Mr. Larry, thanks for the call. Ronnie, What do we know when it comes to Social Security? Is this something that you're able to speak to?
Well, I am. I do know that a lot of people are retiring earlier than they would have. I can't speak especially to Social Security, but I know a lot of people who were maybe, you know, 5 years off from retiring saying like, okay, my job isn't here anyway during the pandemic. Maybe I'll just, you know, leave the workforce early. Obviously, that's not the same thing as saying it's not going to be worth it because of the Social Security payments being taken out of it. But I think it is a similar situation. And that's pushed a lot of people out of the workforce, especially, in such a tight workforce to not have people who are just older in it. You know, it takes out a sizable chunk of people who could have done those jobs.
Now, as we talk about the workforce, what does all of these people leaving, what does it do for the employers who are really struggling?
Well, I mean, first off, there's just, you know, fewer jobs than there used to be. And then depending on the sector, it means they're a lot shorter staffed, and, you know, and retailers especially are having trouble finding people to work for them. And that kind of pushes the work on the people who are still there. You know, like if only one person's in the store and normally there were three, that means you're going to do three times the work. I spoke with a woman who works in a hotel and she said, you know, they used to have 20 or so workers and now they have 10, but they still have the same amount of work between them. And so it's becoming even harder. And in a way you could see that becoming something that drives even more people out of those jobs.
Now, Anne, as we talk about these people leaving their jobs and the people that are left are doing more work, what is this doing for the hospitality industry here in Vermont?
Well, a lot of restaurants actually have limited their hours because they can't find the staff that they need. They'll put a sign on the door saying so. And it's not actually just restaurants. It's also other like retail businesses. They just have had, it is really damped down on productivity in the state. Economic productivity is actually holding back businesses in Vermont. I mean, the lack of workers is holding back businesses in Vermont at this point. And the workers who are left, I talked to some postal workers recently who were saying that they're doing the work of six people, as Ronnie said, because they can't find the staff they need. So employers are trying to get creative. You know, they're getting much better about allowing more flexibility than they used to, because they know that's one thing that parents and others have said that they really need in order to work. It's kind of becoming more and more incumbent upon employers to create a workplace that is acceptable to workers in order to get them to come back. And so it's just right now it's the job seekers market. Mm-hmm. And I'll also say that a lot of employers blame unemployment benefits for, as they say, allowing people to stay out of the workforce. I get emails all the time from people who say that this is why people aren't working. But we are, you know, there were a lot of people receiving unemployment benefits when all of the businesses were closed and throughout 2020 and into 2021. But certainly the federal supplement is long gone. That the last one ended in September. And at this point, we only have just under 3,000 people who are receiving unemployment insurance in Vermont. And if every single one of those persons went into a job, that would not really make that much of a dent in the number of people that are needed, especially in this holiday season where there's a lot of temporary workers that are needed. So it's really, there's a lot of evidence that shows it really doesn't have anything to do with unemployment benefits.
Now, Anne, you kind of briefly touched upon this, but I want to like really dive into this. Are we seeing better working conditions for workers?
Nobody has done any sort of study about this, but for sure we are seeing higher pay and we are seeing employers working hard to present themselves as a good place to work. I know this because I talk to a lot of employers from my jobs and they often, without being asked, will tell me the kind of safety precautions they're taking to make sure that their servers or their other workers are as safe as possible from COVID. They do talk about that flexibility. They advertise a lot of the lifestyle benefits that come along with their jobs. I mean, some of that has always gone on, but there's definitely more of it. There's more of an awareness for employers that they're competing with everybody else for a very small pool of workers. So yeah, it is definitely making a difference.
And listeners, we want to hear your experience. Are you experiencing better conditions, higher pay now that we are seeing this so-called great resignation? Give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to Jane in Burlington. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Great.
Awesome. Yeah, I heard your story, and I'm actually driving in now to hand off my equipment. Resigned.
Oh, wow. So what led to this decision?
Yeah, so I found with the pandemic, the level of trust from higher-ups changed. To be blunt, it diminished. And unfortunately, that was very challenging for me. Just feeling micromanaged, monitored constantly. The lack of trust was just really what drove this decision.
And do you have a plan for what's next?
I do. Yep. I'm going into a slightly different industry starting on Monday. So, yep. Changes, lots and lots of changes. So.
And so you can obviously relate to a lot of the conversations that are happening. What advice would you give to employers that are really trying to hold on to good employees?
Listen and communicate. For me, it's always been about communication. Not only hearing from higher-ups what's going on in the company, but also having higher-ups listen to me about ideas that I may have for continued improvement, regardless of if they're implemented. Just to be able to vocalize the thoughts and the attempts at trying to improve the organization and help guide it into a better direction. Communication for me has always been key and something definitely I would recommend to others.
Jane, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that. Now, Ronnie, I would be remiss if I did not talk about how this conversation about people being able to resign is riddled in privilege, and that not everybody has the ability to be able to leave their job. Who are the people, who's being left behind that maybe isn't able to leave their job but is still not experiencing these good work conditions?
I mean, we know that the great resignation is happening across jobs, even in lower paid ones, but absolutely, there are people who cannot afford to quit. And these are the same people who have the least options always, the people who have the lowest paying jobs, who have the least level of savings, who have the most dependents. I spoke with one woman who was working in a hotel, and she was saying that, so many people have left. And I asked her, why don't you leave? And she's like, well, this is what I know. My kids are really close by. I'm used to this. And I'm scared to go somewhere else. So this is absolutely a privileged opportunity for some people. But what I would also say is that there has been a lot of unionizing lately. Americans' approval of unions is at a generational high. I think the last time people approved of unions this much was in 1965. So, and you have a lot of unions forming or trying to form in place in types of jobs that they weren't previously. I spoke with the head of the hospitality union, and he's seeing all sorts of just actions happening around the country, and they're actually eking out substantial benefits for people and some of the lowest wage people. So I do think there is a bright spot in all of this that can help, raise all ships.
And it seems that this fear that you were talking about is maybe being subsided because so many people are leaving.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the power is coming from. As Anne mentioned, wages have gone up. They went up something like 13% for leisure and hospitality workers, which is a giant jump, but it's also, still just $16 or $17 an hour. So you just see the quality, because of the situation where there aren't enough workers, employers are having to raise the standards of these jobs. They're getting better. I spoke with someone, a Cornell professor who works with the leisure and hospitality industry, and he's saying, they're giving workers more flexibility. They're also giving them a better path to better jobs in the future. He said something like, you know, how long does it take a brain surgeon to like be trained to be a brain surgeon? Whereas like, it still takes like 15, 20 years for someone who enters at a hotel to get to a general manager level. We should have a better path to improvement than that. So as Anne mentioned, you know, just advertising ways to get ahead, different benefits, paying them more, giving them maybe overtime for working nights and weekends, maybe telling them about their shifts a little bit ahead of time so they can make plans with their families. You are seeing improvement because of the tightness in the labor market.
And Anne, I understand that you too went through a, I don't know if we're calling it a career shift, but you too left a job during the pandemic. Do you mind talking about that?
No, that's fine. Yeah, I was one of the 4 million people who quit their job in, I think maybe it was 4 million in February 2021, so almost a year ago. And yeah, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, I had, my whole life was kind of turned upside down by the pandemic in terms of family members arriving home unexpectedly and living with me. And it was, I just was at home a lot more and realized, even though I was really busy with my work as a result of the pandemic, I had time to reflect on what was really important to me and realized that I should look around for something that was a better fit. And I was fortunate to find that. And, you know, I do kind of look on this with interest because it is true. This is a really hard thing to quantify, but the pandemic really has made us take stock of what we want to be doing with our lives. And I mean, we should have known this before, but maybe helped us figure out that, you know, if we're not going to change things for ourselves now, nobody's going to change them for us. And we have to do what we want to be doing, because who knows what's going to happen next? Really nobody.
And it was, oh, go ahead.
It's been really interesting talking to so many other job changers who have said the same thing. You know, even though people are leaving healthcare in droves, they are also training. A lot of people have left their hospitality jobs to train for healthcare jobs. And I've talked to people who have said, this is something I always wanted to do, but I never thought I could for various reasons. And they've taken that step and also found some extra money that was available as the result of the pandemic to get that training.
Do you wish you had changed jobs sooner? I guess, you know, as we talk, you know, I guess I'll ask it a different way. Are you happier now?
Much. It's a much better fit for me. And I'm grateful every day that I was able to do that. And it's kind of strange to start a new job remotely because I still don't know my new coworkers all that well, but we do talk on Zoom and we do email and call a lot. And, you know, on balance, I just think it's been a fantastic transition for me. And I'm really happy for other people who have found that same happiness in a new position.
Well, that's Anne Wallace Allen. She covers business and the economy for 7 days. Anne, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Connor.
And we also have Ronnie Mola. She covers business and technology for Redcode at Vox. Ronnie, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.